Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on here tonight, and we've got the manager. He's Owen Coyle. He brings us from HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get all your tickets for the Dynamo games. Don't forget, Dynamo got some home games coming up here in May. Again, it's HoustonDynamo.com. They bring us the manager, Owen Coyle. Owen, thank you very much for coming on the show.
No, it's a pleasure, Glenn. Always nice to get a chance to air our views, so thanks for that.
All right, well, let's talk the Columbus game. And obviously, you made a number of changes here. It looked like they were playing out wonderfully. You had two wonderful chances. You got Giles Barnes in. You hit a crossbar. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a very different game 18 minutes in.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think we spoke about it. It was important. I think that when we look at the games we've played, I think there's been one really, for me, a poor performance. That was against the Galaxy at home, and it was important that we made changes and showing that we're not willing to accept that level of performance for where we are as a club. So we made changes going into the game against a good Columbus side, a side only narrowly lost out in winning the actual MLS title last year. So we started the game really well. We were very much controlling the game. We brought Colin Warner in front of the back four to give us an extra bit of security, but still pace and power on the break. Had two, as you mentioned, two wonderful chances. I mean, a great team move with Giles Barnes to Alex Lima to Boniek, back to Giles, and his pace takes him beyond the defenders, and the keeper makes a great save to keep it 0-0. And then another well-worked move resulting in Ricardo Clark crashing a shot off the crossbar. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, we looked all set to go and win a tough game. And then, again, we've been give the penalty away that we do. I mean, a little bit unfortunate in that, because obviously the ball's just hit off Shannon, and the linesman's actually flagged for offside, and the referees overruled him and deemed that Shannon intentionally made that pass, which he did. And that actually happened to us, Glenn, the week before in the first goal against the Galaxy, when DeMarcus and Raul collided, and it hit DeMarcus's hand. And De Santos, whenever I mentioned it, he should actually have been offside in that play, because for their player to be onside, it has to be an intentional pass. And I don't think any of the two were. But having said that, obviously Higuain then gets a penalty from Tyler, and I thought it was a very harsh red card. And so it's like a double whammy. So not only do you go a goal down, but you go a man down for 75-80 minutes against a side that probably, for me, have the best movement in terms of the front four in the country. But the lads, they really knuckled down. We restricted them to very, very few real goal-scoring opportunities within that period. And again, we'd one or two half chances ourselves. A goose from a corner, Abdoulaye Mansali at the back post, and even the last play of the game when Andrew Wenger flicked the corner on. So again, there was a lot of nice things within the game, but ultimately, you know, we left the game with no points, and that's always hard to take, because we know that you know, I mentioned about the Galaxy game, and that really that bit is in the backside. Not because that game, we can have poor games and we know that, but really not seeing New England off in Seattle and losing the late goals, that's probably hurt us more than anything, because we'd still be sitting with 10, 11 points and everything is you know, a lot better than in the moment. But we know that we're very close for all that coming together. So it's that hard work in the training ground, repetition, to keep the same focus, concentration, and you know, we're really positive about moving forward, and that starts at Salt Lake.
Dynamo manager Owen Coyle joining us. After the LA game, obviously, you probably and the players probably took a lot of pride in the defensive effort in Columbus. And And I thought they defended like animals and really kept a great shape. And honestly, I don't really think Columbus had the better chances on the night. I think you guys did in the first 18 minutes. But in saying that, were you disappointed that you didn't get Giles isolated a little bit more against those two center backs? Because I just kept feeling at some point he was going to get in maybe behind those two.
Yeah, I think, listen, Glenn, it's a very good point, and it's a valid point. And I think that's what our plan was, obviously, to keep in the game, keep tight in the game, giving nothing away. And as I say, hope to spring Giles or Andrew Wenger. Andrew Wenger had a couple of really promising runs in the second period and just never came to fruition. But you're right. And I think, to be fair, I think Giles was working that hard coming back the way. And Columbus, to their credit, I think they did a good job when they gave the ball away because they disappeared the extra man of going and pressing the ball really quickly and not as allowing us, because, I mean, Greg knows the threat we have on the counter-attack. So I give them a little bit of credit for that. But I think you're right in that. We'd have loved a little bit more of that. And the game plan is always, Glenn, our game plan is always to keep in the game. And then as we get towards, you know, 15 minutes to go and such forth, really try and go for it and get ourselves back into the game. And unfortunately, that was taken away from us because one or two injuries in the game, and we'd already used a goalkeeping substitution. So we were limited to how we actually wanted to impact the game late on. But you're right, the boys defended really aggressively, you know, with a good organisation, a good shape with what done last week. And what we have to do now is take that in the 11v11 situations, defending like that every week, knowing that we have a goal set going forward.
Now, take us through the substitution pattern, because obviously with the sending off, it makes some of the changes and the decisions you got to make as a manager difficult. So obviously out goes the plan of having Colin Warner in there protecting your two center backs. You bring on a goalkeeper for that change. And then talk about the last two changes you made with Monsalve coming on and then David Horst.
Yeah, again, you know, that was really the substitution in that respect. And it's happened to us a number of times this season. I mean, whether it's through a concussion or an injury, it's really been taken out of our hands, because our plan was always, you know, as we sit, Colin Warner had to come out to obviously get a goalkeeper on. And that meant that we didn't have that one in front of the back four, but we're still a solid 4-4 with Giles, obviously, as that striker. But with the way Boniek and Andrew Wenger prepared to get forward, and Clark and Lima when they could. But then, obviously, in the second half, Boniek had tweaked his ankle, a little ankle strain that would only get worse if he persevered. So that meant Monsalve coming in with a bit of pace to defend when he had to, and equally get forward, which he did. And, I mean, that was such a wonderful chance from Shannon Williams across from the right. And, you know, Monsalve, I thought, looked a big favourite to go and score. As it was, the boy managed to get that little block at the back post. But it was a great opportunity. And Abdoulaye did fine when he came on in that respect. And then, you know, because we'd always planted, as the game was going, to hopefully get Kubo and Will Bruin into the game and get strikers. And then even if Giles with them and be aggressive in the last 10, 15 minutes. But then Shannon Williams went down with a cramp, which was expected, well, not expected, but it wasn't ideal, because obviously it was his first game coming back in. And given the how hard they had to work, then when I say it's expected, then it was natural that something like that was going to happen. And then that meant that we had to have obviously another defender coming in, and it took away from getting the forwards onto the field as we planned to do. So that was a little bit of bad luck it went against us on the day. But even then, I mean, we were still in the game, pushing on later on to try and get that all-important equaliser.
Real Salt Lake, you know, they fell to the sword of the LA Galaxy as well, who I guess is in really good form right now. They've got a couple of injury problems, always a difficult team at home. And they're a team that seems to be a little bit reborn this year.
Yeah, well, listen, Glenn, you've got to give them tremendous credit. You know, as a club and a franchise, I mean, they've spent a lot of money. They've went and got a DP in Movisian, they bought Sonny in. And, I mean, they've brought three or four good players to the club, and you've got to give them credit for going and investing in that and everything else. But when all said and done, you know, whoever you play with in the MLS, whether it be at home, whether it be on the road, I mean, they're all difficult games, and Salt Lake are no different. But you're right, they're coming off, obviously, you know, they took five at the Galaxy on the weekend, and they, you know, they scored two good goals themselves. Certainly the first one, a terrific header, and the second one, a penalty that could have been given, not been given, but, I mean, they still finished it. So we know they're a very good side going forward. But equally, you know, we certainly believe that if our players are at the maximum, we can cause them problems. And that's what we look to do. We go there, as I said before, really, you know, in a positive mood, because if you look at our three road games, we've lost each game by a single goal. At Red Bull, very much could have won the game, as you know. And then Vancouver, we lost to a penalty that wasn't a penalty. I mean, Boy was suspended for diving and cheating in the game, which he did. So we've lost out on that, which again, we're not here to make it, but that's actually what happened. And then at the weekend, not even the penalties bad enough, but going down to 10 men for 75 minutes, because we truly believed that 11v11, we were the better side, and we'd have fought our way back in. But my answer to that is, in looking forward to Saturday, we know the margins are fine and we're not far away from going and getting that road win. And when we do that, you go and get your victory there. We're back home with Kansas. And this team, with the players that we have now, Glenn, we truly believe we can go and win 3 and 4 in the bounce. But we've got to start with the first one, and that's what we look to do at the weekend.
Is winning on the road something that has to be learned? I know this may sound like a strange question to you, because you are right there, and you make a great point. You know, these are one-goal games, and we all know the balance in one-goal games. I mean, we watched the Real Madrid game today against Manchester City, and we all see how fine these margins are. Is there some secret formula to attitude, to approach, to anything that, you know, helps you to sway these one-goal results?
Yeah, I think you're right in that respect. I think there's a number of things, Glenn. And the first thing is that positivity, that confidence. Now, you've been in the game long enough, as I have, to know that people always feel ultra-confident when they're getting good results and everything else. But out with the LA Galaxy game, our performances have been very good. And we continue to perform at a very high level. Then, you know, that ball, that whatever it was, that's got to go your way eventually. We cannot continue to for that to transpire against us. But it's that positivity, it's that confidence, and that's a belief, it's a mentality as well, Glenn. And once you get over that first hurdle, as you know, you get the monkey off your back, whatever you want to call it, then you're up and running, and you go from strength to strength. And that's what we'll do as a group. I mean, we're all hurt and disappointed by the points we've accumulated, and nobody's hiding from that. Nobody's getting away from that. But what I know is there's been a number of things that's not went our way, but we remain focused, we remain confident, we remain positive moving forward, and that starts going to Salt Lake on Saturday.
He's Dynamo manager Owen Coyle joining us again. We remind you, Dynamo tickets and Dash tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. The Dynamo have a couple of home games coming up here at BBVA Compass Stadium. You're not going to want to miss those games against Real Salt Lake and Sporting Kansas City. So after a game like this, your team fights their socks off. They respond to the sending off of Tyler Derrick. For you as a manager, is this a week where you have to build your players back up from a confidence perspective? How does it work for you psychologically as a manager with your group?
No, I think again, there's tremendous merit in the question. I think what was important for us, and I said this particularly at halftime, that as a group, when we come in after that game, that we know we've given everything we could to try and achieve that positive result. And I think we did, and I think on another night, then it could have went our way. But what I did know at the end of that game, that every one of them showed Glenn that they want to be part of Houston Dynamo, and they want to be part of the team moving forward. And that was an important message, because it's always easy when things don't go your way, and this is not just in soccer, this is in anything, it's always easy to wallow in self-pity and feel sorry for yourself and think, oh, why me? Why? Well, the only people that can affect that, the only people that can change it, is yourselves. And they knew coming out of that game that they'd give everything, and they know it's so close for it all coming together for them, and that's what we do. We continue to prove it. We continue to ramp up, and we show the belief we've got. I mean, we know we can score goals. We've shown against the Columbus side, even with 10 men, we conceded nothing with the 10 on the field, a man down, for 75 minutes. So we've shown we can defend at a very high level. So what we've got to do, and this is the key to anything, is, you know, put it all together. Defend for your lives and give nothing away. And at the other end, be clinical, be ruthless when your chances come. And when you do that, then that gives you the platform to win games week in, week out, and get on that run. We're early in the season, and we know it's achievable for us to go win those games and start climbing the conference where we want to be.
Owen, I think people are going to be intrigued with how you pick your team this week. I mean, I think this is part of the allure of this game against Real Salt Lake. And I know you don't want to reveal that, but, you know, you have considerations here, right? I'm sitting here on the outside going, well, does Owen pick the team that performed so well in the first 18 minutes? Does he go back to the 4-2-3-1, you know, starting point with Maidana as a playmaker? So it's a week where you have a lot of decisions, right? And how do you come about that decision? Do you know what it is now? Do you go through the week to see how players are, assuming there might be some potential health injuries, health issues? You know, how does that work for you?
Again, Brian, it's a bit of both. One is that obviously we look at ourselves in terms of, you're right, the health of the team, the individuals and such forth, and how our game plan can work to win a tough game. And equally, you know, you always look at the opposition, who you're playing, how do they set up, what's the way to exploit if they have any deficiencies. And I'm pretty sure they'll be the same when they look at us. So I think it's a bit of everything coming together and understanding, you know, what's the best scenario for ourselves going there to win a tough game. And as we look at what I will, you know, I can tell you, is that Joe Willis will be in the goal. I can tell you that.
Yeah. But I mean that 18 minutes, do you look at that in a capsule? And you got to really consider that, right? Because your team was humming along there.
Well, as much as we, you know, you're right about the 18 minutes, Glenn, but that was something we'd worked on all last week. It wasn't just that, yeah, we put them out there for 18 minutes. I mean, we'd prepared that in respect of how we'd built into the whole week. And you know, because you come to the training ground and you watch us shaping up and going through everything and the fine detail and the set plays and everything that goes with that. So that's a plan that we'd worked on with Colin Warner coming in. And I felt, you know, I really felt for him having to come out of the game, because I think he showed within that opening period that he can give us something different in that midfield in terms of the qualities and attributes he has, as opposed to our other midfielders. He has different qualities. I think they can help us. And he showed that within that period. And I'm sure with another week's training under his belt, he'll be in a better position to go and as I say, and impose himself in a game. I mean, the other thing I always tell you up front as well, I think like the MLS, when they always look at different situations, then at the moment, obviously, they're looking at a couple of things that happened within the game. I think Alex Lima being one of them. So there's a possibility that there may be a one-game suspension for Alex Lima. So again, we look at a number of things, but until we get confirmation of that, and then we decide how we move forward.
Owen, as always, we thank you very much for your time. We wish you the best of luck in Sandy, Utah against Real Salt Lake this Saturday.
No, thanks, Glenn. I appreciate that. And as I say, we have a magnificent club with unbelievable supporters, and all we want to do is go there, be really positive, look to get the points and get a smile on their face, because we're doing everything in our power to make sure that we have a team they can be proud of.
Owen, thank you as always.
Cheers, Glenn. Thank you.
All right, that's Dynamo manager Owen Coyle, brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets. Also, DaspitLaw.com. They are personal injury attorneys, personalized approach. You can call them at 713-588-0383. John Daspit, friend of mine, they treat every case as if it is their own. Car, boat, motorcycle, industrial accidents, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. It's John Daspit. It's the Daspit Law Firm. They work 24/7, nights and weekends. They will fight for your right for compensation. John Daspit, it's DaspitLaw.com. We'll take a break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Now, the Dynamo this weekend, once again, will be on the road at Real Salt Lake. The road has not been good to the Houston Dynamo. That's a game you can catch here locally on Root Sports, but it's always good to hear from the opponent and from a U.S. international. He joins us now. He's Real Salt Lake central midfielder Kyle Beckerman. Kyle, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just talk about your season. I mean, last year it was not the normal Real Salt Lake season. 9th out of 10 in the West, you didn't make the playoffs. What's changed this year for you guys? Because you've gotten off to a great start.
Well, I think, change in formation, different players definitely had a big effect on us. And it took us some time to kind of get used to it. And I think at the end of last year and just having that full year last year, even though we didn't like that year, it did help us get off to a bit of a better start going into preseason. And then along with having Tigres away to start off the season. So basically our focus was on Tigres away, we got to be ready. And I definitely think that helped us springboard into a good start so far this year.
Kyle Beckerman joining us here, ESPN 97.5. You guys are about to embark, after you take on the Dynamo, then you got a lot of road games. And I'm reading here, it's the longest stretch of road games in history here. So obviously you're targeting the Dynamo game here on the 30th as to get some home points. What is it you've seen about the Dynamo this year when you kind of look at them ahead of this game?
Well, I'll definitely get a better look as the week gets a bit closer to the game. But, you know, I think always Houston has a strong team, especially, you know, difficult to play in Houston sometimes with the humidity and the heat. And playing in that every day definitely gives you a little bit, a bit of an advantage. So, but I know they have incredible players. I watched a little bit of, I forget what game it was, but, you know, I think Will Bruin is really, you know, coming into his own. You have Torres up there who's, you know, has a bunch of quality, especially in front of goal. And you got veteran leadership and Barnes and DeMarcus, and these guys are still going strong, and Ricardo as well. So the players are out there. They have players. I think Houston is maybe going through a little bit of a transition as well, and get Foreman and gelling players. So it's a little bit unpredictable right now what we're going to see from Houston. So sometimes that makes it a bit difficult. We'll get a better look at some more of their games and kind of maybe see some trends and stuff. But, you know, I always know a Houston team is going to bring it, and it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned something important there, and the Dynamo are going through adjusting to a new coach and staff and playing styles and a lot of new players. You guys had to adjust in some ways to Jeff Kassar, even though he was an assistant out there. Does it need time sometimes, and do people kind of rush the time?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think it took us, you know, it for sure took us last year. You know, I don't know, maybe it could have been faster with different players in the transition, but it takes one. And I'm sure you add in a coach that doesn't really necessarily know the players as much as Jeff does, it can make it extremely difficult. You know, and it's tough because fans and ownership, they want results right away. And, you know, when you can gather some results and still know you need to improve, that's when you're sitting in a good spot. It's the times when you know you need to improve and you're doing some things right, but you're not getting the results. And then the pressure comes, and then, you know, changes come into the lineup. So now the gelling isn't happening, and, you know, you're still seeing new players when the results aren't there. So it's an uphill battle, but, you know, it definitely was hard to take last year, but you just hope that you can, you know, make that just a fluke year and a small little back step towards the bigger picture, and that really we're going to get back on track this year.
Kyle Beckerman joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Now, two of your great attacking players, Yao Plata, Burrito Martinez, have gotten and picked up some injuries. How important is the health of those two players? And, of course, they're such a big part of your team. Start with Burrito Martinez and what he's brought since his signing, because I think I remember calling one of his first games in Major League Soccer in Houston, and I remember walking away that night going, wow, this is a guy that's going to help Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, I mean, Juan he's a special player for sure. He's doing some stuff I haven't seen a teammate of mine do. It's incredible. And he's a good guy. He's a good guy in the locker room. His English is really good. And we have, you know, guys that make him feel comfortable. And when he's tired and he wants to just speak Spanish, we have plenty of guys. So he's really gotten into the team off the field really well. And I mean, he has the ability to take on one, two, even three players at once. And, you know, it comes off quite a bit. I mean, yeah, sure, there's times when it doesn't come off, but he is a lot of times it is, and he's creating havoc. And he's, you know, he's setting up players, and now he's, you know, hopefully we can get him scoring. But these are big players. You know, he's a huge player for us going forward. And like we just said, you know, it's tough when you're trying to build something and then you have injuries. Now you got to try and figure out a way to do it without him. And hopefully you have a foundation built enough that you can add someone in, and maybe they're not giving you as much flash or that Juan's giving you, but hopefully he can, you know, he can win his duel in the game and help create a couple chances, but and help on defense as well. So, but it's extremely tough without a guy that you're going to rely on going forward.
Pal, what about the secret to your longevity? Because, you know, you play a physical game. You do a lot of running. You're a midfielder that can get up and back. And, you know, you just seem to keep on ticking.
Sometimes I do think about all the running and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, this is something. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is taking care of the body. I mean, I really think it's truly important what you're putting in your body with eating and are you getting massages. And I added Pilates to my recovery and different stuff to make sure you're strong and you're ready to go again. And I think it's something maybe, you know, got instilled to me being in this league at such an early age is, you know, a lot of guys earlier in this league were playing a lot longer than maybe they do now. There was, you know, Preki was still going, Robin Fraser, Chris Henderson, Mark Chung, Pablo went to 37. And so I guess, you know, I try to pick up little things from those guys. And you know, I noticed that when the time was coming for the coach to see who's healthy, you know, these guys were always fit and always ready to go that the coach could rely on. And I kind of, when I was a young guy wanting to get on the field, I felt like, you know, if I ever get in there and I'm going to make sure I'm fit. So if ever a coach asks me, coach, I'm great. I'm good to go. Yeah. And, you know, I just kind of try to stay with that mindset and just always be ready for the next game. And, you know, luckily not too many big injuries and, just keep on trucking. I really enjoy the game. I love coming to practice every day and trying to get better. And the game days are awesome. So it's just been a lot of fun, and I'm trying to keep it going.
Kyle, how do you see the game differently now than you did, you know, in those early stages?
Yeah, I think it'll start to slow down for you. You know, you're starting to read things a lot earlier, putting yourself in a better position. And maybe when you're younger, you're just, hey, I can get into that position. So you rely on just running and instead of being smart, maybe save that run and be smart and save that run for another time. And then I think, as you continue to play in that center area, you know, you learn about how you got to win your battles and different little passes that are, you know, kind of cutting through the midfield. Maybe it's only a 5 to 10 yard pass, but it's breaking about four players. And now your attacking mid is running at them at their back four and in space. And so you kind of pick up little things, little ways to turn and switch the field, or just kind of when the game gets tight and you're able to find a little way to slow the game down and find a pass. And those kind of things kind of started to come as the experience and the games went on. That's kind of things that started happening for me.
Do you think your range of passing has improved, you know, whether it's those little balls over 4 or 5 yards or 10 yards or 15 yards or, you know, that ball that opens the game up and changes the point of an attack?
I think that's part of it. I think, you know, it's just what the game gives you. And that's the thing in the center is that each game could be totally different. And, you know, some games you'll have a chance to get 3 shots on goal. And another game, you won't even get a sniff by the goal. And just, you know, having to read the game and how it's supposed to be. And you know, with formation changes and things like that, things change as well. Now passes are, you're finding players in different positions. Now maybe the longer pass is on. Now when you have, you know, when I used to play with Robbie Finley, I'm always looking for him over the top for a longer ball if I got some time and space. If you have more of a post-up guy, that ball is not going to be on. And so you're going to have to adjust. So, you know, I'm always trying to improve and trying to read the game faster and see what the game needs while you're in it and emotions are running high and things like that. In any way, you know, whatever the game goes, you know, if it has to be, if it's longer passes, short passes, they all, you know, you just got to be ready to make the right choice.
Yeah, I think what you just described was pretty interesting because basically I think you were saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, you have to know what type of ball to deliver to certain teammates to put them in good positions and play into their strengths.
Sure.
Yeah. U.S. national team, Copa Centenario this summer. Obviously, you played a big part in the Guatemala the second Guatemala World Cup qualifying game. That was there was some pressure on that game, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, it was. It's just where the game's growing. People care, and when things happen now, mainstream America is taking notice. And you know, a game maybe in years past, a loss in Guatemala, nobody, yeah, our fans would have been upset, but mainstream media would not have been a part of that. And even though we wanted to win all these games for sure, the game, losing to Guatemala almost grew the game a little bit and got it out into the public. And, you know, it's just, there's expectations now. And so with that comes pressure. And, but I felt like everybody there was ready to get the job done. Nobody panicked. We knew we just had to play better and we had to get a result. And, you know, as the game went on, the pressure gets a little easier and easier. And it turned out to be, you know, a great night.
He's Kyle Beckerman joining us here on ESPN 97.5. A couple more questions with Kyle, then we'll let him go. You know, everybody always talks about the Jurgen Klinsmann in a lot of different ways. I'm not sure a lot of people in some ways understand him. What's your take on Jurgen playing for him and for the U.S. national team?
Yeah, I mean, Jurgen, I mean, right off the bat, I watched him as a player, and, you know, what a legend he was as a player, and then watching him in the German World Cup. You know, so I ultimately there's respect there right off the bat. And he's trying to breed in confidence and you know, he's trying to, you know, this positive energy and being confident and trying to make that contagious throughout the group. And you know, we last year wasn't our best year, one we will remember, and it was a tough year. And you know, we still beat the number one team in the world and number three team in the world at their place on a bad year for U.S. soccer. And that's the progress of where we're going. We're going to have some ups and downs as it's going along. But I think, you know, all the players believe in him and feel like we can give the Copa America a good shot and see what happens, you know, because it's you get out of the group stages, as we know, in any tournament, you know, things can happen, and we're getting excited for that.
Yeah, how about you personally, you know, being a part of hopefully, and I'm sure you will be, I'm thinking, the Copa Centenario and what that means in this country. Obviously, the eyeballs that are going to be on this, it's almost going to feel like a little bit of a World Cup. And many are saying this will be the biggest tournament since the 94 World Cup in this country, you know, at the national team level that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge. It's hopefully I'll be a part of it. I know I'm excited just to be a part of that. And you said it's going to be like a pretty much like a World Cup. And, you know, hopefully I believe we'll feel a lot of the same support that came in the World Cup. And again, that's just going to grow the sport even more into the mainstream culture, which is great. And it's just going to be fun for a fan to, you know, watch the U.S. go against some of the best players in the world and some of the best country in a big tournament. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, and you said it. Another opportunity to platform the sport, because if the U.S. were to go on a good run in this thing, you know, against the likes of all these great soccer-playing nations from South America, there's no telling how deep it can sink into the mainstream. So it is going to be an exciting summer. Kyle, thank you as always for coming on. We really appreciate it. You're just like you are as a center midfielder. You're always there. You're always dependable. We appreciate you coming on, and thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime.
All right. That's Kyle Beckerman. Real Salt Lake, the Dynamo, will take them on this weekend. Root Sports, catch it. Eddie Robinson and I will have the call of that one. They will be at the beautiful stadium where RSL plays in Sandy, Utah. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back. We got more to come here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we finish in style here on Soccer Matters. We go all the way to Munich, Germany. Our good friend Sal Mietha of Talking Fußball. By the way, you can get everything about Talking Fußball at TalkingFußball.com. The podcast also available on iTunes. Sal, it's a late night in Munich. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a snowy night, if you can believe it or not, in Munich. But, of course, we shouldn't talk about weather in Houston. A quick shout-out to everyone in Houston, my friends, family, all your listeners. After all the floods, hopefully everyone's doing well.
By the way, is your family doing all right from the floods, Sal?
Yes, everyone's fine. Thanks.
All right. That's good to know because I met your dad, I remember. All right. Well, let's get into it. It's a big one tomorrow. It's Bayern Munich, Atletico Madrid. Contrast in styles here. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, no, definitely a contrast in styles. You know, Bayern have the power. They have all the weapons. And if you think about also Manuel Neuer, they got someone who can stop any kind of counterattack. You know, the Fernando Torres and the Griezmann, the two guys who showed their skills against Barcelona. But you know, I'm not even worried about tomorrow as much as I am about the return match, because if you look at Bayern's run over the last since 2010, they've made the semifinal, if not the final, and won the championship, of course, in 2013. The one time they didn't, they played a quarterfinal at home and they lost an away goal. So what Bayern have to do tomorrow, as you said, contrast in styles, they have to score a lot of goals tomorrow because they've been struggling a little bit at home. They barely got by Juve. That was one of the best finishes ever. And then Benfica, they were kind of lackluster. You know, it's funny, Glenn, we took a whole season worth of games. It comes down to this week. They have to beat beat Atletico in these next two games. And if they want to rest up for the, hopefully, the Champions League final, for the cup final, they have to beat Borussia Mönchengladbach on Saturday to win the title. So a lot riding this next week for Bayern.
Listen, Atletico, we all know, nobody wanted to get drawn against them in the semifinals. Incredible defensive team. They defend narrow. They don't give you a lot of space between their lines. I heard a number of people talking about sort of the secret weapon Bayern's going to bring in there. I mean, what is it outside of, getting a good wide game going and trying to take advantage of the flanks and then find Lewandowski and Thomas Müller?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. You know, they're missing Arjen Robben, who's an experienced player. But the thing is that, as I mentioned, they're so deep and they're so talented. So you mentioned the two guys in the middle, Lewandowski and Müller. But with Douglas Costa and Kingsley Coman, I mean, those guys bring some energy off the bench. If they start them, they definitely speed up the pace. And when you've got players like Xabi Alonso and Javier Martinez, the team has played in Spain in the semifinal the last 2 years. This team is experienced, and they've got some speed and some talent. And, of course, if you throw in, as well as you mentioned, not only Lewandowski and Müller, but Frank Ribery, watching him play, he's lost a little bit, maybe a half a step, but he's still very dangerous in the box. And if they can get that going and get their confidence, I think that Bayern may come out with a surprise tomorrow night.
Bayern Munich against Atletico Madrid tomorrow. It's a big one. Bayern arriving in the Spanish capital, 28 goals in 10 games in the Champions League. And, of course, Atletico, obviously very fierce defensively, has only conceded 5 in the Champions League this season. They scratch, they claw. But as much as we talk about how good of a defending team they are dangerous on the counter with Griezmann.
Yeah, and we saw that against Barcelona. In fact, everyone kind of wrote them off. But this is the same club that were minutes away from winning a Champions League title last year and then beating Barcelona in the semifinals. So definitely a team that Bayern can fall asleep on. You know, they fell asleep for a few minutes against Juve, and they were down. And outside of Lewandowski's 5 goals in 9 minutes, I saw the best 20 minutes of football or soccer from Bayern. So when they wake up and when they're running on all cylinders, but they can't fall asleep, they can't afford to fall asleep and fall behind. Philip Lahm mentioned that they need at least one goal tomorrow night to have a chance. But I really do believe that they need a couple of goals because, as you said, the counter is going to be very dangerous next Tuesday night when I'm at the arena.
He's Talking Fußball, Sal Mitha. You can catch his podcast, talkingfußball.com, also on iTunes. Well, back to what Philip Lahm just said. How important is the first goal in this game?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting is whenever you see Bayern when they're down a goal like they did against Juventus and then they actually fell down 2 goals. But in the history of me watching them over the last 13 years, every time they fall behind, they do get back into the game. The only time that I have not seen them do that was against Real Madrid a couple of years ago when they lost 4-0 in the Champions League semifinal. That was the one time where they just completely everything, all the wheels came off. Other than that, I really do believe that if they can get, not just the first goal, but if they fall behind, but they're able to show some momentum and some fight back and maybe come out with 1-1 or even down 2-1, it would be quite interesting when they play in Munich. And it would be quite interesting too, Glenn. The last time Bayern had a coaching change, we knew that Jupp Heynckes was leaving. He won the triple. He won the treble. And now Pep Guardiola, we know he's leaving. We know he's leaving for Manchester City. It'd be very interesting to see if he can also leave Munich with the treble. So a lot of pressure, but I think that they're quite hungry to get to that final.
What have the fans made of the whole thing that Pep announced, and whatever this came down in the press, that he was going to Manchester City? How have they dealt with him? They treated him the same way with the knowledge that he's leaving to go to Manchester City?
Yeah, I think it definitely was clear when he first came on that everyone was, of course, a little bit shocked, but also quite happy. Like, wow, we got Pep Guardiola to the Bundesliga. But it was quite clear it was a stepping stone. But there was a banner in the main fan section where it said that soon my coffee will become tea and it's not as strong. So obviously a slap to the English Premier League by the fans that, this is the better league. The fans expect that. That when someone like a Pep Guardiola comes in, that he's going to move on, and just like with any player. So it's been cordial. It would be nice to see him there, but I really do think, Glenn, you've been asking me this all the time, how important, and everyone asks me all the time, international press, how important it is for Pep to win the Champions League. He wants to win the Champions League. He wants to do it here. But I think that his dream was always to coach and to be on. He's won in the Spanish League. He wants to do it in the English Premier League.
Sal Mehta joining us here. A couple of players let's talk about. First, let's start with Javier Chicharito Hernandez. I remember when he first signed for Bayer Leverkusen, there was all kinds of things being said by people. The fact that he didn't get it done at Manchester United or Real Madrid to some. But this guy is having a remarkable season. He's going to play in the Copa Centenario now. He stated that with Mexico here in the United States this summer. Just talk about Chicharito and give me the impression of him not only in Munich but around the Bundesliga this year for what he has done, and that is score goals.
Yeah, of course, scoring goals is an important thing. And if you look at Leverkusen's record, they're I would say quite disappointing to be almost 20 points behind Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund, quite disappointing for a team, but they'll secure their Champions League spot. But what Chicharito has done is definitely in two things. So of course, like I said, score a lot of goals and be the focal point of their offense. But you can also see from the Bundesliga, in the terms of the marketing and the growth, I mentioned this before when they were playing in Florida, it was all about reaching out to the Spanish-speaking press, the Spanish-speaking fans. I believe on Fox Sports, they're the number one rated team when they play. Of course, a lot of people want to watch him, especially in North America, watch him play out there. So his impact has not just been on the pitch, but also in terms of marketing. And, of course, I had to look twice. Is it the Chicharito? I thought this is the guy who plays in the Premier League, and this is the guy who plays for Mexico and one of the greatest stars. So to see him come, kind of same with Pep Guardiola, I wouldn't be surprised if he used this as a stepping stone to get back, get some confidence back, and go into the Premier League, or maybe even come to the MLS. A lot of rumors now as the MLS, American players coming over. Why not European stars going to MLS? And that's a lot of talk going on. So maybe he might be going there. Not sure what the rumors are, but definitely he's playing for now, and he's playing well in Germany, in Leverkusen.
Only 27 years of age, and he's on a pretty young team in Bayer Leverkusen, who's got an average age of 23 or 24 years of age. And he's the oldest starter at 27. But I think it's been a remarkable story, and you bring out the commercial aspect of it as well. All right, Christian Pulisic, the American youngster, 17 years of age, scores for Dortmund. Talk to me about him, his impact in the Bundesliga, what people are saying about him, and if we're all jumping to too much excitement too quickly.
Let's be careful with that, but let's enjoy it. I love the tweet from Landon Donovan that he said he's already scored more goals than he has in his Bundesliga career. I mean, we know how Landon's, he came with such fanfare, but Pulisic, definitely not much fanfare. They signed him. He played well on the second team that earned him promotion in January. So my timing, unfortunately, I missed him when Dortmund came to Munich, and also when he came to Augsburg. But to come in, he's taking advantage of his time. 8 games, and two goals. So the record is the youngest to ever score two goals in the league. But why not celebrate it? Why not see that, you know, we talk about all the American stars after the World Cup coming to Germany or playing within Germany, developing their game. Why not this guy? And hopefully he can stay in Dortmund. And, you know, this is a team where they have the second top scorer in Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So for Christian to come in and do what he's done, and, you know, Thomas Tuchel, I remember him at Mainz. You know, Mainz was never going to have those big stars, and he developed the young players. So this is probably the right system for him if he wants to move on to the well, he's at a big club, but if he wants to move on and grow his career in Europe, definitely a great start. And I guess everyone's not even just thinking about this next year, but looking at 2018, looking at the World Cup, what will Klinsmann do? What would Jurgen do when, you know, picking his team and picking young talent? We've always been talking about these guys are old when, you know, the last World Cup. Who's going to be the next talent? Well, Pulisic is definitely someone that we can look to and get excited about for 2018.
Yeah, why can't we be excited? I think fans are very excited. He grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania. His father, Mark, played professionally in the indoor game for the Harrisburg Heat in the 90s. He played for a local youth club called the PA Classics. This is pretty unbelievable stuff. Three goals for Borussia Dortmund. He still hasn't turned 18 yet. Pretty remarkable stuff. Sal, as always, great stuff from you in Munich. Again, we remind you, it's Sal Mehta, his podcasts, TalkingFußball.com, also on iTunes. Sal, thank you very much, as always, for joining us. And, by the way, for staying up late.
Oh, of course. Always a pleasure to talk. And, of course, I'll tweet out to all your listeners. So, Glenn, always appreciate the retweets.
We'll do that. We'll make sure we do that. We'll get you back on after Bayern and Atletico get done with their home-and-home series.
Looking forward to it.
All right. That's Sal Mehta. We wrap it up tonight for Tyler Scott. All who work on this program, we thank you very much for tuning in and listening in today. It's Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. It's Facebook, Soccer Matters. And if you dare, Instagram, Glenn Davis Soccer. To all you who listened in tonight, called in, thank you very much and good night.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.